In this section, Ken Wayne discusses the theory and principle which the Founding Fathers intended for the structure of our government. He presents the legal intent behind the three-part form of the federal government and explains the proper use of this design.
What we're going to be answering today is a few questions about how our great nation got started. Some of the things that were going through the Founding Fathers' minds as they organized this nation, what were they thinking about? What were they trying to accomplish? Why were they thinking that way? And why were they applying the principles of law that they applied? And why was it structured the way it was? What we're talking about is the history and the structure of the United States of America, which is the central government to which certain limited powers were delegated by the several independent nation states of this new land. The founders desired to form a structure different from the kingdoms of Europe. The founders understood the legal ramifications of different forms of structures and desired a structure that provided the same protections of a kingdom, yet was not subject to the whims and personality of the one man in control, a king. To understand the background behind this, we have to understand some principles of law, some principles of organizational structure, and why those principles are important. The first thing we have to understand is what constitutes a structure and how is it organized? What are the positions in a structure? In any organization, be it a business, a nation, there are two basic positions. The first position is the officer position. That position covers all of the people who are carrying out the business of the organization. The board of directors, board of trustees, various office holders, whether you call it president, executive, trustee, or any other form of executive position. Anyone in management is a part of the day-to-day operations and handles the day-to-day operations of the business and establishes the policies and procedures by which the organization is to operate. The other position in an organization is a beneficiary. This is anyone who has granted any property into the organization, holds stock certificates, qualifies for dividends, or any other form of distribution based on performance of the organization, or qualifies for distribution of assets upon dissolution of the organization, or in any other way directly or indirectly receives any benefit based upon the financial performance of the organization. However, this does not cover salary or wages or other remuneration based upon actual service provided to the organization. There are two basic types of organization and structures. The first is sole, that's spelled S-O-L-E. In this form of structure, one or more persons hold both the officer position and the beneficiary position. We're familiar with many different types of sole organizations, and as the term applies, sole or solitary means only one controls or runs the entire organization. In a sole organization, the law, as recognized by the Supreme Court of the United States of America, provides that as long as a claimant names both the organization and the officer beneficiary, in a lawsuit, the claimant may obtain judgment against both the organization's assets as well as the assets of any person who holds both an officer and a beneficiary position in the organization. This does not provide very good asset protection for either the officer beneficiary or the organization. If the officer goes out and gets in a private accident, the organization's assets can be taken. If the organization gets sued for some alleged wrongdoing, the personal assets of the officer beneficiary may be taken. We see this form of organization styled under many different titles. Corporation sole, sometimes considered a religious corporation sole. Doesn't matter if you tie the term religious to it or not, it is still a sole organization. An LLC is generally structured as a sole, limited liability company. Partnerships are sole. Limited liability partnerships are sole. For those of you familiar with the term straw man entity, which has become a popular term in many educational circles where people are studying law, that also is a corporation sole. That is where your given name and surname are converted to all uppercase letters as a business entity, and you are the officer and beneficiary of that organization's soul. The other form of an organization is aggregate. In this structure, the positions of officer and the positions of beneficiary are never held by the same persons. Further, the officer position may never receive a benefit, even if laundered through a chain of other organizations. The beneficiaries have no say in the operation of the organizations on a day-to-day basis. In an aggregate structure organization, an officer cannot be held individually liable on suit for official acts within the scope of the duties of the organization. That is provided that the organization certifies the act as being within the scope of the duties of the officer's position, and the organization can substantiate that it has the authority to delegate the power to perform the act. To look at where the Founding Fathers were coming from, we have to look at the form of government they had before this nation was formed. So let's look at how a kingdom is structured. A kingdom is a structure where the subjects grant control of their everyday lives in trust to the office of king and whoever holds that office. The subjects forever give up, subject to the terms and conditions of the allegiance, control of their personal lives to the current holder of the office of king. The king makes all the day-to-day decisions, policies, and laws of the king trust. The subjects have no say in the operations of the kingdom. The subject receives the benefits of the kingdom in that the kingdom provides basic protections of international and internal commerce, protection against foreign attacks, and protections from domestic violence, in consideration for the taxes the subjects pay for the benefits received. The king has absolute discretion to determine the consideration, taxes, and the benefits offered to the various subjects of the kingdom. That was the organization that the colonists came to America under. Of course, the king at the time they came was a different king than the founders of our great nation were dealing with, and gave these new settlers who were acting in the kingdom's behalf and claiming lands and negotiating land deals great benefits in exchange for nominal taxes, because they were out there risking their lives and property to conquer this new world on behalf of everyone in the kingdom. The American leadership understood the problems of being subject to a king, and particularly the king of that time, who was not particularly benevolent. As a matter of fact, he appeared to be somewhat of a tyrant, and especially a king who was an ocean away and did not care to provide his American subjects very many benefits in consideration of the taxes being extracted.